Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Lynn Ball from San Diego, and I represent Mr. Mark Neal. Mr. Neal is, at the time of this offense, was 49 years old and had suffered for many years from bipolar disorder. He and his girlfriend, Lori Stauffer, who was a co-defendant in this case, were residing in front of the San Diego Public Library at East Street, were approached by what I could only describe as a broker who desired to have them enjoy a stay in Tijuana at a hotel at the expense of some individuals who were involved in alien smuggling. They went down to Tijuana, stayed in a hotel, got free food, free lodging for a while, and then were given a Mercedes automobile, which Ms. Stauffer, who was his romantic companion, who he described as a common law wife, drove the automobile with Mr. Neal as a passenger. They came to the border. The Border Patrol could not open up the trunk. The car was searched, and there was a gentleman, alien, in a gas tank type of compartment. Mr. Neal was interviewed. He waived his Miranda, admitted that he was involved in this, and admitted that indeed he knew that there was someone in the automobile, was concerned about whether he would receive time served. He was represented by an able lawyer, and Ms. Stauffer was a co-defendant, and during the course of this, she made an agreement with the government to testify against Mr. Neal. The trial lawyer took Mr. Neal. Mr. Neal indicated apparently that he wanted to plead guilty at the last minute. The case was set for trial.
But the problem with his pleading guilty was that he wouldn't confess error, confess that he did the crime. Isn't that right? He said he was innocent.
That's right, Your Honor. And what he said was is that although in spite of the fact that he had admitted that he knew that there was someone in the automobile at the, during the colloquy between the district judge and Mr. Neal, he said, yes, I did not know that there was anybody in the vehicle. He changed his testimony entirely. His position entirely. What's interesting about this case is that his lawyer had indicated to the judge that this is going to have to be an Alford plea, Judge.
You still need some sort of factual basis in the record for the judge to accept an Alford plea.
Yes, but you'll recall...
He may not have to admit it, but there's still somebody's got to point to something and says, here, this is sufficient, this shows.
Right. Well, there was, I think, the ability to do a factual basis, and indeed, Mr. Miller, who is arguing here today, pointed out that essentially laid a factual basis, essentially said, look, Ms. Stauffer is going to testify as to what happened, that they both knew that there was an alien in the compartment. He admitted, Mr. Neal admitted during the time that he was interviewed that there was an alien in the compartment. The other thing that was different about this case is that during the course of Mr. Neal being incarcerated, he had stopped taking his lithium. As I indicated earlier, he was had a bipolar disorder. He had stopped taking his lithium. And my understanding from talking to my daughter-in-law, who's a clinical psychologist, is that a person stops taking their lithium, typically when they're going into a mania phase, which affects their judgment.
Well, counsel, during this plea colloquy that we're talking about, instead of saying I'm innocent, didn't he actually say that's why I want to go to trial?
I don't think he said
He said something about something to the effect of that's why I want a trial, or I don't know. I mean, it sounded pretty equivocal. And then at some point, the judge said, well, he acknowledged that he had stopped taking his lithium. He asked him, why did you stop taking your lithium? And the guy says, well, so I could think clearer.
Yes, I understand that. But
and then he repeated that, and he said, well, how do you feel today?
Yeah, I have a clear head. Right, I know.
So what's the judge supposed to do, get down there and put a stethoscope on him?
No, but I think that under Macias Flores case, which is a recent case, a 2009 case, I think that the record does indicate that perhaps Judge Burns didn't feel that he could accept a guilty plea from a defendant who was maintaining his innocence. That's exactly what happened in Alford. Alford insisted that he was not guilty, but they were able to lay a factual basis on other evidence.
What I'm trying to gather is it appears that in your papers, at least, you argued that, there was some mental deficit here, and that's the reason why we should reverse, that he didn't know what he was doing. Well, I'm having a hard time trying to figure out what a district judge could do more than this one did. He wasn't acting erratically in the courtroom, as I've had several defendants do, and I stopped the proceedings. He didn't lack lucidity. He was queried about why he stopped taking lithium, and he said, well, lithium kind of boggles my mind or something, or does something to me, it confuses me, and so I stopped taking it so I could think clearly. And how are you thinking today? Oh, I'm great, basically. Those weren't his words, but that's what he said. So, I mean, and he didn't act anything other than that. So there comes a point where one wonders how far the district court can go.
Yeah, my point in that, and I won't belabor that, was it just strikes me, and you may feel, Your Honor, that the judge did make an adequate inquiry. I just felt that the judge kind of, when he said he wasn't taking the psychotropic medication, he didn't ask him how the lack of taking the psychotropic medication affected his judgment.
But he did. He asked him, well, how are you feeling today? Why did you stop? And he said, because he told him, because it impairs my ability to think, and I'm not quoting now.
Right.
Okay,
I,
but that's I, generally I, what he said. And now I'm, can think clearly because I'm not taking it. That's why I stopped taking it. So he gets exact, the answers he gets from the defendant are exactly the opposite of what would raise red flags.
I understand that. I'm not, today I'm primarily focusing on the Macias Flores case and whether or not...
What does Macias Flores tell
basically,
us?
The Macias Flores case was a case involving an Alford situation. This guy wanted to plead guilty. He had been offered a life sentence. He'd been offered something less than a life sentence. So he went in and there to plead guilty, and he said, well, yeah, I want to plead guilty, but I'm not really guilty. And then the judge just said, well, if you're not really guilty, let's go to trial. And there was a long discussion about whether or not the judge could actually take an Alford plea on someone who insisted they weren't guilty so that he could take advantage of the plea bargain. And the court says... that one of the things that you look at is whether or not the court mistakenly thought it could not accept a guilty plea from a defendant who maintained his innocence. And that's what this defendant was doing. He said, I didn't know that somebody was in the car. And that's what Alford did. He said, I didn't kill this guy, but I want to take the deal. And the judge says, in the colloquy, says... He says, I cannot and will not accept your plea. And basically, essentially, he says, I cannot take your plea if you're insisting that you're innocent. Now, we don't know from this record whether or not Judge Burns felt that he couldn't take the plea or if he just didn't want to take the plea. And Judge Kaczynski said in an earlier case, which was Vasquez-Ramirez, which is cited in Macias-Flores, look, if you are able to fulfill Rule 11 and you can lay a factual basis, which could have been done here, in other words, from the testimony of the co-defendant, what he said earlier, and if he still wanted to go to plead guilty to take advantage of not getting a higher sentence if he went to trial, then you could, you're supposed to take the plea. And there's a discussion about whether or not a judge has to, and that hasn't, has to do that, or whether it's discretionary with the judge, that hasn't been decided by your court. You're still sort of up in the air. And this might be a good case to discuss that. I don't know. Or make that decision.
Well, it seemed to me, I didn't get the impression that Judge Burns I didn't get the impression he didn't understand what Alford was. I mean,
I know Judge Burns. I know him for 25 years. He knows what Alford is.
All right. And Alford is, by its very nature, a plea where somebody has overwhelming evidence against them, and such as there appears to have been here.
Right.
And the defendant doesn't, you know, it's different from a nolo contendere plea, but it's a
little bit, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit different. There are some nuances there.
Right.
But even with Alford, you have to have the Rule 11 requirements met, and you can see that.
Sure, but I think
that I got the impression that the judge didn't think so, because, you know, he was maintaining, you know, there was this ambiguity as to whether, did you know the guy was, well, I met him when he was in the tank, or I saw him in the tank, and they took it to mean the tank, gas tank, which is where he was actually, where the gas tank would be, or the holding tank, you know, and then
right.
There was that ambiguity.
Well, that was clarified, though. I mean,
well,
statement. It was actually clarified. Now,
yeah, and so that, but anyway, that was out there.
Yeah.
And then you had further this, you know, this issue of whether he was looking the other way. He was 4 feet away. Was he looking that way? Was he looking this way? Where was he looking? And then he said, no, I didn't know anybody was in there. His former girlfriend or whatever she was, common law wife, said he knew it. I mean, the evidence was pretty strong.
Was there any plea bargaining before all this took place?
Don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
You weren't counsel there, were you?
No, I got appointed in this case.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Mr. Miller, if you want to ask him,
he would know. Yeah.
He would know. I'm assuming that there was the standard offer, you know, of like a two or three year offer. He was a Category 6, so he's pretty high in terms of.
What did he eventually get?
70 months.
Okay.
Yeah, 70 months, which if he played straight up, you know, he probably would have gotten in the neighborhood even of 46 to 57, something like that. In that neighborhood.
All right.
That is assuming the judge would have given him acceptance of responsibility even under...
I know.
Even in an Alford plea situation, that's not entirely...
No, not entirely, although, boy, it's pretty rare. I've been doing this a long time where somebody pleads guilty and doesn't get at least 2 points.
Right.
It's pretty darn rare. I think Judge Burns probably would have given it to him. Just throw him the bone.
Why don't you save the balance of your time for rebuttal?
All right, thanks, sir.
Good morning. I'm Steve Miller from the United States. Counsel made a comment that he thought it wasn't clear whether or not Judge Burns just didn't want to take the plea. The quote that you were looking for is on excerpt of records, the appellant's excerpt of records 29. He was taking the plea the day before the trial. And it was going to be a straight-up plea, which is an important factor in this present case. And he advised Mr. Neal of all of his rights, asked him if he had a clear head, have he taken any drugs, and then he went through the elements, and everything that Mr. Neal told the judge led the judge, Judge Burns, to have the reasonable deduction that he knew exactly what he was doing. And it got to the point where he said, okay, you were riding in a car with Ms. Stauffer. Yes. And there was an undocumented alien in that car. Yes. and you knew that alien was in there? No. And whether or not we think Judge Burns just didn't want to take the plea, it's one of the things that the defendant said, and that's on page 29, where he said, at the time, I had no idea. That's the only reason I want to take this to trial, Your Honor. We were supposed to rent a car.
Yeah, that's what I remember him saying, I want to take this to trial.
And I was scrambling to find that quote.
Yeah.
Since it was...
So that's what raised... Because in Alford plea, you're going to get the defendant saying, well, you know, I didn't do it, but I know the evidence is overwhelming, so... That was Alford.
Well, there's two things about an Alford plea. The main distinction here is that when someone, we could say, let's not say we did, I want to have a guilty plea entered because the consequences, the alternative, I would miss out on the opportunity to plead to a lesser charge, to a reduced charge or a reduced sentence. That was not the case here. You asked about the plea negotiations.
No, I didn't. Judge Paez did. I'm interested, though. That's a great question.
I was trial counsel. And what had happened was we had plea negotiations up until the time Ms. Stauffer pled. And then at that time, the die was cast.
Now, one of the requirements of Rule 11 is that the defendant actually want to plead guilty and not go to trial. Because you have to go through a huge colloquy about waiving your trial rights and all that.
Yeah, and it was...
And then he said in the middle there, that's why I want to go to trial.
It was going remarkably well up until the time he asked Mr. Neal, so you knew that the person was in the car? And he said, no. And Judge Burns then went a step further and said, okay, Mr. Neal, you say you didn't know that the person was in the car, but there's another option. Are there circumstances that occurred leading up to this offense where you would have had suspicions and you chose not to inquire?
The willful
further?
Blindness, yeah.
Yes, yes. And Judge Byrne was laying it out to him on a silver platter. Okay, if you say you didn't know, what about your suspicions? And Mr. Neal was adamant. I did not know. I had no idea until I saw the guy in the holding tank. And with that, the court said, well, that's what trials are for. He indulged the government the opportunity not to have to go to trial the next day, but gave me until Wednesday or Thursday, naturally until Thursday, to start the trial. But the other thing with regard to Mr. Neal's argument that lithium had an effect upon his ability to plead guilty, this is kind of like the opposite cases, where most of the cases are, because I was taking drugs, I was incompetent to plead guilty, so let's withdraw or vacate my guilty plea. This is kind of an opposite circumstance, where he's saying, my not taking drugs made me incompetent not to plead guilty. The affirmative evidence before the court and at the trial leads to the reasonable deduction that the lithium really did not play a part in his competency to whether to plead or not plead guilty. He said that, and this is both before Judge Burns and at trial, he said that the lithium... I don't think clearly when I take lithium. And then at trial, he told the jury, that is for my anxiety, I'm agoraphobic. It's also for my bipolar disorder. Well, those mental defects did not include a delusion. And in this case, in order for there really to be an incompetency to plead guilty, he had to have the delusion that he didn't know, when in fact he did, because the overwhelming evidence was that he knew. But also, and we know that he knew, because when he was interviewed, He said, I knew the person was in there. I was doing it for money. And then he chuckled when he said, did you know it was against the law? Well,
Counsel, what is the obligation of a judge to accept such a plea, an Alford plea? Is it discretionary?
It's discretionary. And obviously there are some, I mean, there's no absolute.
Up to a point.
Yes. I mean, there's no absolute right to have an Alford plea. And the judge is entitled to use his best discretion. In the distinction with this case is most Alford pleas or NOLO pleas, in addition to having the opportunity to have a reduced sentence or a lesser charge, that was not the case here. And
well, that assumes that he would have gotten the same sentence if Judge Burns had accepted his so-called Alford plea.
Yes, and you also made the point that had he taken the Alford plea, in light of the fact that he then affirmatively stated, I didn't know he was in there, then the circumstances would have been different with regard to any reduction for acceptance of responsibility. But if we're also evaluating his clarity of mind, competency not to plead guilty, if you examine his testimony, he had the presence of mind in order to conform his testimony to what he believed he needed to communicate to the jury in order to get an acquittal. And, I mean, in light of the overwhelming evidence, and at trial, we played his statement from beginning to end. And then he had the presence of mind to formulate an explanation, explaining away. It wasn't adequate, but he still had that presence of mind. Is there any other questions that you wish to address?
I don't think so. About a minute and a half for rebuttal.
I just wanted to mention the instruction issue just briefly. Judge Burns sort of muddled the aiding and abetting instruction, muddled it quite a bit. When he read it orally, the written one wasn't so bad, but the one thing that I pointed out in my brief, and it seems to me like that for aiding and abetting, the aiding and abetter in an alien smuggling case has to have basically the same, be convicted, have the same mental element.
Well, let's assume that the error was there. What now?
Right.
Because I think the government would agree with you.
Right.
Am I right?
Yes.
All right. So now let's assume that was an error. So now what?
Well, the question is whether or not it's reversible error, whether or not the error was pointed out adequately. There was a big discussion about between Judge Burns and the trial lawyer about whether or not there's a specific intent element in aiding and abetting. And Judge Burns says, no, that's just for attempt, and just dismissed it all and didn't really give him an opportunity to argue. It just seemed like that there was error there. Whether or not you think he would have been convicted anyway, that's another issue, I suppose. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate the arguments on this case, and it's submitted. And we're going to take a short 10-minute recess before we hear our final case for the day, which is advertised.com.
All right.